following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. It's our Wednesday podcast with Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Halji. Josh, trying to stay warm out there. How's it going?
Yeah, it's tough. It's cold right now.
You came into the office. I rarely see you with a toque on, and you had one today. I mean, I know you and I are frog hair challenged, so.
Yeah, I got to do something to keep the head warm.
Well, before we get into the Mayor's Cup, we have some breaking news that just happened at about an hour before we started taping here, and Josh, I just showed him on the way up, so he's was stunned with this news. Brown head coach Brendan Whitted has stepped down as head coach to take a family medical leave, and when he returns, he will begin a new role in athletic administration. Jason Smith will serve as interim head coach for the rest of the season. Statement from Brendan, for over half my life, Brown University has been more than just an institution to me. It has been my home, my community, and my passion. From my days as a student athlete to my tenure as head coach, I have poured my heart into this program and this university. This place is woven into the fabric of who I am. However, at this moment, I need to prioritize my family's health and recovery and will be taking a family medical leave as my energy needs to be directed toward my loved ones. While stepping away from the bench is difficult, I am incredibly grateful for the support of Dr. Grace Calhoun and Jake Silverman, who will allow me to transition into a new athletic administrative role upon my return. I look forward to continuing to serve the university I love in this new capacity. As I mentioned, you just heard the news when I showed you the tweet. How shocking is this news?
It's really shocking. I mean, first, my thoughts go to his family and that, you know, hopefully everybody is okay and, you know, on the road to recovery or whatever's going on there. But yeah, he's been, you know, in the league for a long time and, you know, someone that's always treated me really well. So, you know, my thoughts are with him.
Yeah, Brendan, I mean, he's been good to me over the years in my, you know, time covering. He's been more than willing, you know, win, lose, or draw chats with me. I think, yeah, maybe one time he didn't, when you guys beat him a couple years ago. I think there was some angry, some Union fans giving him some crap about some stuff, which probably should not have happened. But yeah, he's one of the good guys. I mean, he played for Brown. He coached with Bob Godet at Dartmouth and then got the head job in Brown, and he's been there a lot. It's going to be strange not to see him behind the bench. Of course, you'll see Brown at the final weekend of the regular season. It's going to be kind of weird not to see him across the ice.
Yeah, for sure. And he's, you know, someone that's, you know, played some big games against him, whether it was in, you know, in the playoffs or just, you know, regular season games. He had a good run to get the team to Placid a few years back when we were there, when I was with Clarkson. So, like, yeah, again, caught me off guard with that one a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, he's been there a long time, and yeah, that's we know at least two job openings in ECAC hockey. The Yale one, I know Joe Howe's right now the interim head coach, but he's been doing a good job, so maybe he has a shot at getting that. But yeah, we're going to see what happens with this situation at Brown, and all the best to Brendan and his family. So let's get back. Let's get on. Talk about the Mayor's Cup. You just had the one game, and that was the Mayor's Cup at against RPI at MVP Arena. And boy, was it a memorable game! After giving up what seemed like to be a game-clinching empty net goal with 2:54 left, the Garner Chargers scored two extra attacker goals, 1-17 apart, to tie it and send it into overtime. And that's where Brandon Burr, who had scored one of those extra attacker goals, he uses baseball skills to bat the puck into the net 225 into OT to give Union an improbable 5-4 win over RPI and capture its fifth straight Mayor's Cup and 10th in the 13 games that have been played. Without getting too specific, because we have a lot to talk about here, what are your general thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was a chaotic game. I thought the first period I thought was, you know, a kind of a boring first for us. I didn't think we generated much. You know, give credit to RPI for staying above us and frustrating us. Then the second period, I thought we completely dominated, for at least the first 15 minutes, but we were only able to get one. Then, yeah, the third period, it was a little bit back and forth, and then it looked bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think Brandon's goal kind of has taken away from what happened there in the last 3 minutes, just because his goal was so fantastic as well.
Of course, that made the SportsCenter top 10 play on Saturday night, and that was amazing in itself. Well, let's start with the opening period, and it was a good one for RPI, and not so much for Union, as you just mentioned. The Engineers seemed to have more energy than the Garnet Chargers, and RPI got the game's first goal. It was on a power play. Rainer's Ruler scored on a shot from the right circle, beating goalie Cameron Corpy over his right shoulder at 6:21 to give the Engineers a 1-0 lead. And that was the score at the end of the period. The shots on goal were 7 apiece. RPI hit a couple of posts with its shots. The Engineers deserved to have the lead. Why do you think your team didn't match RPI's energy in the first period?
I thought they did a really nice job just staying above us and frustrating us. And, you know, we weren't attacking the game the way we needed to. And, you know, I think anytime it's, you know, that game, it's a little bit of a feeling out process. And I thought we were kind of dipping our toe in, and I thought RPI just jumped right into the game.
What was said in the locker room at the first intermission?
You know, it's just talking about our work ethic and just our compete level and how, you know, it takes for us to, you know, what it takes for us to be good. And then we just really wanted to attack the second and be aggressive. If you make a mistake, make sure it's with your feet moving. And I thought the guys really, you know, transitioned well.
Yeah, the second period begins and we see a much more determined Union squad. We saw speed, we saw good checking, we saw good defense, and we saw a goal. Carter Rose takes a Lucas Buzio pass, skates to the net, and beats goalie Nate Krawchuk 3:34 into the period to tie the score. It was Rose's first goal as a member of the Garnet Chargers. He transferred to Union from Clarkson in the offseason. So how good was it to see Rose get his first Union goal?
Yeah, really happy for him, and especially on the big stage. You know, it was a really nice play from Lucas, and even, you know, Will Felicio was kind of interchanging up top there, so like, it got them a little bit confused, and then a great shot by Carter.
Yeah, he made a nice move, and they had an open lane, and then nobody really checked him.
Yeah, I thought we had a lot of movement up top, and it really, you know, confused their forwards, and that allowed him to get in free.
Well, unfortunately, Rose was involved in RPI's second goal. He had the puck in the Union right wing corner when RPI's Dovar Tindling took it away from him. Tindling skated to the net and put the puck over Corpy's right shoulder with 1:22 left in the period to give RPI a 2-1 lead heading into the third. Union outshot RPI 16-6 in the period. Despite dominating the period, you're down one. Was everyone frustrated?
Yeah, I think that everybody, you know, knew that we had played better, and that, you know, is kind of what we talk about all the time is our process and how we do things, and, you know, the score will sort of take care of itself. So, you know, we felt like we should at least be tied, but we weren't, and, you know, just kind of had to refocus and go.
Well, the Engineers made things tougher on the Garnet Chargers when Lucas Lemieux scores 1:43 into the third to make it 4-2. 3-1. What's the mood like on the bench after that goal?
You know, can't feel sorry for yourself. Just kind of have to, you know, pick yourself up and go, and you know, get back to trying to take care of pucks.
And Union presses to cut RPI's lead, and it gets that goal when Colby MacArthur scores with 7:44 remaining. What's the feeling like now?
Obviously, nice play, and everybody's feeling good, and, you know, within striking distance again.
Okay, now the fun begins. With 3:02 left and a faceoff in the RPI zone, you decide to pull Corpy for an extra attacker. And I'll be honest, Josh, I thought that since it was a one-goal game, it was too soon. I was down in the media room with the Times Union Sean Martin, and we looked at each other, and we thought, you know, it was too soon. And then, of course, what led to that decision to make the move at that time instead of waiting maybe for another minute?
Well, we wanted to get our guys on the ice that, you know, we feel are most dangerous. They were all rested, ready to go, face off in the offensive zone. Though, to me, the worst thing you can do is pull your goalie too late and, you know, you run out of time versus, you know, you got to score. So, yeah. Like, that was our mindset.
Yeah, I know that the philosophy of when to pull a goalie for an extra attacker has changed over the years. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when coaches wait until there was a minute left in the third period to pull the goalie. And nobody even thought of pulling with two goals down.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy when you look at the analytics on what they say you should actually pull. Like they say, when you're down by a goal, you should pull it like 6 minutes left, mm-hmm. and you're down by two, it should be like 10. So it's crazy what the analytics tell you, and I just think that those are some crazy times as well.
Well, stepping off track here, I remember a game with Princeton at Mesa Rink when Union was up 4-0, and Guy Gadowski, who was coaching the Tigers at the time, pulled his goaltender, and they scored three goals and almost got the game time goal at the buzzer. So, I mean, yeah. And that was really the first time I had seen a coach do that. Now, obviously, you know, we see Patrick Wilde introduced it into the National Hockey League, and it seems like it's the wave now.
Yeah.
You used to, people think you ice the puck, that's not good, but now you don't mind teams icing the puck.
Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of stories of big comebacks now and people being a lot more aggressive with it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for Union, RPI's Tyler Wallace scores 6 seconds after you pull the goaltender to make it 4-2. Still plenty of time to try and tie it, but there had to be a sinking feeling that Union's run of winning four straight Mayor's Cups was ending.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that thought goes in when they score the empty netter. You know, fortunately for us, there was still a lot of time left.
Well, you pull Corpy again, and this time it worked quickly. 12 seconds after the Wallace goal, Brandon Burr was in the right spot to make it a one-goal game again.
Now Union down by two once again. Corpy's back to the ice. Their shot, rebound, Fred score! So Union will not go away quickly as it's back to a one-goal game now with 2:42 to go, and it's Brandon Burr who's going to get the goal for Union.
Boy, they come right back down. They pulled Corpy before we could even say Corpy had come off.
That's a call from Andrew Santillo and Steve Sheridan on UnionAthletics.com. You close the gap to one. Do you think the momentum is in your favor at this point?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, you went from being basically, you know, dead to having a heartbeat again. So I think it was, really important, and I thought everybody had that belief again.
Well, Corpy is pulled again. RPI just misses an empty net goal and is called for icing with 1:42 left. The engineers call their timeout so that they can change players on the ice. Union wins the ensuing faceoff. Parker Lindauer has the puck to the right of the net, of the RPI net. He sees Riley Bruick in front of the net with 1:25 to go.
Lessard, they're announcing the goal here, and everyone, shot, score! Bruick ties it! Riley Bruick has tied it at four with 1:25 left. The comeback. Unbelievable.
Well, just unreal what we witnessed in the last couple of minutes there, Josh. The period ends at tied at four, and we head to overtime. First, talk about Bruick's goal. He outmuscled an RPI defenseman, Kazimierz Sobieski, in front and one-timed Lindauer's pass.
Yeah, nice play by Lindy to get the puck across. And, you know, being strong on your stick is something that our coaching staff talks about a lot, and you saw that from Riley.
What is the feeling like as the game heads to overtime?
You know, still the job isn't done. You know, talking to some of our guys, they said that they knew the game was over at that point. I think just with all the momentum they had, but just wanted to make sure we possessed the puck and held on to it as much as possible in overtime.
Well, overtime begins, and Union, for the most part, controls the puck. And about midway through OT, Lucas Buzio has the puck in the slot, and he takes a shot. Krawchuk makes the save, but the puck is floating in the air. Brandon Burr is there, hits his stick just below the shoulder, and then he swats at the puck with a second try.
To the circle, turns the brakes on, drops it for Buzio. Buzio, shot. Save, rebound, score! Brandon Burr wins it! The Mayor's Cup stays in Schenectady! Brandon Burr open in front of the net and was able to bat it home out of midair, I believe.
Well, RPI challenges for a possible high stick, which would have nullified the goal. The review is quick, and the goal is confirmed, and Union pulls off an improbable victory. What was it like on the bench after the goal?
Yeah, I think when you coach, a lot of games are similar. A lot of games, you wear the losses really hard, and the wins, it's kind of just like a deep breath. That was one that I think we all really enjoyed, and just to be a part of was pretty special.
As I mentioned earlier, Burr's goal was the top play on ESPN SportsCenter top 10 plays on Saturday night. First time the Union has had a SportsCenter top 10 play, ranked number one since Max Novak's falling to the ice, the power play goal against Vermont in the 2014 NCAA Men's Hockey Tournament East Regional. I mean, just incredible night. I mean, Mike, you wonder what they missed on Braden Gillespie's glove save against Brown a couple weeks earlier. I don't know, but well. We have post-game sound. Let's start with Union and Brandon Burr, Lucas Buzio, and Riley Bruick.
Everybody ready? Brandon, I'll start with you. Obviously, the game winner with the baseball bat swing. Are you be trying for the Union baseball team in the spring?
Might have to. I mean, I probably still won't make it, though.
Talk about that goal. What happened on the play?
Well, I'm pretty sure Lucas to my left just shot that on net, and it was in the air, so I just... reaction, I guess, just to hit it out of the air.
Is that something you practice at all, or just is this instinct?
No, I've never no practice there. It's just instinct, I guess.
And then what's the reaction to seeing it go through the net? And you know, obviously it was a review, but like knowing it could have been a game winner.
Yeah, that was pretty surreal. I mean, the situation we were in with like 4 minutes left, like I don't think anyone expected that, so it was just a very surreal feeling.
With the crowd going crazy too, it was obviously a very heated atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, how cool is it to have the crowd backing you and hear them roar? You know,
oh, it was awesome. I'm happy those fans that stayed, like, brought the energy for overtime, helped us.
Luce, what was the feeling on the bench after they got the empty net goal to make it 4-2?
Yeah, I mean, obviously them scoring with that being down 2 wasn't great, but, I mean, there was still a lot of time on the clock, and, you know, Coach Helge believes in, you know, pulling the goalie a little bit early, and you know, you see tonight why that works out. I mean, we buried 2 with the empty net and obviously going and winning overtime. So, you know, there was still belief. I mean, there was still lots of time on the clock. So anything can happen.
What did you see on Brandon's goal? Just walk us through that whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall, I think Les Lessard just made a really good play. Just dropped it, had a nice pick, and you know, I was kind of a little tired and just shot on net, and then you know, I turned the other way, and Burzy just did the rest. So I mean, pretty fired up when I turned around. The home crowd went nuts, so it's pretty cool.
Riley, for you to get the game tying goal the way you did, and just you won. Yeah, a puck battle there. Now puck battle. You established yourself in front of the net there. And Parker with the pass, just talk about the whole play and how big that goal was.
Yeah, I mean, it's been something we've been working on a lot lately, me and Booz especially, just in practice and stuff, getting reps at that. Obviously, it's a big play at a big time. So Lindy made a great play, and you know, all I had to do is kind of just put my stick there and hope for the best, and just lucky it worked out.
Brandon, how important was you to get that first goal so quickly after they got the empty netter?
I think it was very important just to get us right back in that game, because obviously that empty netter to make it 2-goal game is kind of a little bit of a dagger, but to answer back right away really gave us life.
Brandon, what was it about the team's resilience? You know, you guys were down 3-1, made it 3-2. Obviously, they had the empty netter, but you know what happened. What does that say about the team's resilience to come back, you know, 2 separate ways?
We just don't quit. We know we have a lot of belief in our room, and it's also Saturday, so we can't lose.
Let me start with Riley. How important was this win coming off the you've been on a 3-game losing streak, had you lost this game? Yeah, you lost to Harvard, you got shut out. You lost to Yale, you got shut out at Harvard on Monday, and you're just a couple minutes away from losing. But what does this help? How does this help you guys when you return to ECAC hockey play next Friday?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it gives us some juice. You know, it was good, resilient effort, kind of a gutsy win there for us. But yeah, going back into ECAC play, I mean, you know, that's just big to know that we can do that. We can come back from big games. You know, we came back at Princeton. And then we've been struggling a little bit lately, but, you know, we've had to do some soul searching and you know, everybody's been up to it, and we've been grinding away. So it's nice to see a couple go through and get a win.
Brandon?
Yeah, I think Riley said it perfectly. It's a very nice feeling to get those bounces today.
Lucas?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we were in a slide, but it wasn't like we were in a crazy slide. I mean, we lost 2 games, and it wasn't like the end of the world. So, I mean, we have belief in our group, like Brandon said. I mean, We love the guys in the room and everyone around the team. So, I mean, we had tons of belief, and it's a 2-game slide. It's not like it was the end of the world. We were losing 4 or 5. So we believe in our group, and you saw tonight how much belief we have.
For Brandon, sometimes it could be cliche when they say any game with a trophy means something. But what does it mean to win it again tonight in this setting, neutral setting against RBI?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, I know for the rest of the seniors, except me, Lindy, and Miles, it's their 4th in a row, and it's not easy to win these games. Like, RPI gets up every year for, like, it's a big game. So it shows a lot of heart from us.
How special was it to play in this game, given just the way it went down, Mayor's Cup, everything involved? Just how special was it to have this game play out the way it did?
Yeah, it was super special. I mean, I can tell you, I'll probably never forget this game. That comeback was something special.
To win again in overtimes 2 years in a row, what does that mean?
So we're cutting it too close, I think.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now let's hear from RPI head coach Eric Lang and forward Dovar Tindling.
You can sit down. You want to sit next to me? It's fine.
Coach, what would you say to the guys after the game?
Yeah, sometimes I like to let the room. I think that's player time. I did go in there and I just said, "Hey, I want to be in there with the hard times with this group." And I thought that was an important message. We're not covering any hockey stuff at that moment. I just want to let those guys know that that's a tough way to lose a hockey game. But I wanted to be in there with them, and that was important.
How frustrating is it? Because Wallace gets the empty netter, you're thinking you're good shaped up 4-2, and then Union Bank's 2 in there, and then gets the overtime winner. How frustrating is that to lose a game like that way?
Yeah, I don't know if frustrated is the word that comes to mind. I think there's some great lessons inside of this for our group. As a young group in transition, these games are hard to win. As we just learned the hard way, I did think we were a little overzealous after the empty net goal. We tell our bench, calm down. We've got a long way to go here. And then I thought we were, it was just a sleepy neutral zone faceoff. We're in the right spots. We just don't defend it hard enough. And then it's a one goal game. And then anything could happen from there. It was just. I thought that face-off was really important for us. We needed to win the face-off and get it in and just let the game breathe a little bit. But, and then we miss an empty netter by a couple inches, another empty netter by a couple inches. So there's some good stuff inside of this. When we say every puck matters and every play matters, there's some hard truth to that.
Bill Barr, what was the mindset of the players at that point after the empty netter, and then Union responded about 20 seconds later?
I think we were a little excited, obviously, when the puck went in the net. But immediately after, I think the message was it's not done yet. Fortunately, it just didn't look like we were ready for the face-off, and they were able to get back right away. And, the rest is history. So,
what was the spirit like heading into overtime there in the 3-on-3 period there?
Obviously, You're in a little bit of shock. You always are when the team scores last minute tied up, especially in a situation like that. But we just kept emphasizing that one shot is all that matters. I thought the bench reacted pretty well. Just it was a great play by their player, and they won it. So,
how tough is me? And obviously, it's probably a raw feeling right now. But how tough is this? You guys were just over 2 minutes away from winning Mariners Cup for the first time since 2020.
Not easy. It's not easy. Obviously, we were right there and didn't get the job done. So it's definitely heartbreaking, especially as for myself and the older guys. But I think it was nice for the younger guys to see what it's all about and how much it means. So,
Eric, was this your first Mayor's Cup? Was it all you could imagine?
Yeah, it's we're on the wrong side of. Union playing 60 minutes and we kind of, I thought we stopped playing there for a little bit, but what a neat experience for our student athletes. It's a full building and it's kind of an epic college hockey game tonight. There was lots of momentum swings. I loved everything about what our guys did in our preparation for the week. I thought our process was as good as it gets. I even thought our process inside of the game was outstanding outside of a 10 or 12 minute stretch in a second where Union made a good push. I loved everything about what we did tonight except the outcome, and I'm proud of the way our guys, we've got some pretty good buy-in right now with our group, and our record is what it is. We're going to be a tough out for somebody here in a little bit of time here. We are going to be a tough out for some college hockey team in the ECAC that's going to get us maybe in a one game set. And I like the way our team is trending. This would have been a good one to get some traction for our program. But you know what? It is what it is. And, sometimes the lessons inside of the loss are monumental for great progress ahead. And I think there's some great stuff inside of this for some of our younger guys. And this is something that we can lean on as our program builds and gets pretty good. And then we're going to get freaking really good. You could take that to the goddamn bank.
Well, Josh, do you agree with Eric that RPI will be a tough team to face in the EC Hockey Tournament first round game?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're, you know, they've taken good steps as a program, and you know, he's got them, you know, buying in.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Friday's big ECAC hockey matchup against Dartmouth in Hanover, and we'll get the chance to answer listeners' questions. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC Hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. I'm joined by Union Med's head hockey coach Josh Halgy. Josh, before we get into Friday's matchup with Dartmouth, I wanted to ask you about goalie Cameron Corpy. He got the start against RPI. He allowed 3 goals and 20 shots. I mean, I thought he played okay. There wasn't a save that really stood out to me. I mean, there were a couple shots that hit the post. What did you think of his performance?
Yeah, I thought early in the game he was, you know, not as confident as he normally is. Kind of worked his way in, and then, you know, I thought, like, just gave a calming presence there as the game went on for him. And he made a really nice play on, I believe it was our second goal, where he transitioned the puck up the ice, and I kind of thought it settled him into the game. I think that, you know, for him it was a big one. We needed him to get the win, and he needed to be in the net for a win.
The Tinling goal, and this is not a criticism of him, it's just the way goaltenders are with the butterfly style. He goes down on that and exposed the over his right shoulder. Like I said, again, it's not a criticism of him. It's all goalies. They do that. Why? What about? Is there a way that some of these goaltenders can do some stand up?
Yeah, I think
especially a tall goalie like Cameron.
Yeah, you really shrink yourself up when you get down and put your, you know, I know they want to be strong at the net, but like it allows people to get to that back post at times. So yeah, I think there's a time where you need to be big and stand up.
Well, RPI did something I thought was pretty cool. Both the men's and women's teams wore alternate jerseys with the city of Troy on the front and Uncle Sam in the middle of the logo. I mean, is this something Union should look into, something similar next season? Maybe the teams make it a tradition.
Yeah, I think that was a nice touch by them. And, you know, I think we could do some stuff to honor Schenectady as well. It would be nice.
Yeah. Well, it's another one-game weekend for Union. It's also the start of the ECAC Hockey Stretch Drive as the Garner Chargers head to Hanover, New Hampshire for a 7 p.m. game Friday against Dartmouth. Union finds itself tied for eighth in the final ECAC Hockey Tournament first-round game home slot with Clarkson with 17 points. Both teams are 9 points behind Cornell for the fourth and final first-round bye slot. We have talked enough about Union's win one, lose one weekends in conference play. So, but how critical is this game Friday?
Yeah, I think for us, again, it's all about us, you know, continuing to play good hockey, and we've seen parts of it where, you know, against RPI where I thought we were really good, and then there's parts where we're mismanaging the puck and not being responsible. So Dartmouth will make you pay. They're very detailed, they're very structured, and you know they're the type of team you're gonna have to beat in the playoffs.
Well, Dartmouth has had Union's number lately. The Big Green, which is tied for second place with Harvard, has a 7-game winning streak against Union. The Big Green have eliminated the Gardner Chargers from the ECAC hockey tournament, the best of three quarterfinals the last 2 years. In 2024, Dartmouth swept the series in Hanover. Last year, the Big Green repeated that sweep, this time at Messer Rink. Why has Dartmouth been a thorn in Union's side of late?
Well, they're extremely hard to play against, and you know, again, as I mentioned, like they don't give you much. They're, you know, very responsible, and you know, they have two goalies that are pretty good.
Dartmouth got off to a hot start, winning its first 11 games. Since then, the Big Green are 3-6-1 in their last 10. They lost at Cornell in overtime last Friday, and at Colgate in regulation last Saturday. And we'll hear from Dartmouth head coach Reed Cashman on Thursday's podcast. So, how important will it be to get off to a good start against Dartmouth and get that early lead and take control of the game?
Well, they're a different team when they're playing from behind. So for us, it's important that we have a good start.
Yeah. Well, as always, we like to take questions from our listeners. Adam Shano writes, Coach, with three challenging road games ahead, of course, you guys go to St. Lawrence and Clarkson next weekend, including a ranked opponent that's been tough on you in the postseason in recent years. How are you getting the group ready, and what do you want to see from them on the road?
Well, I thought it was a good spark for us just – I mean, the energy and everything that went into winning the Mayor's Cup. So I just want to continue the way we finished that. And, you know, I think everybody's got a little chip on their shoulder with how the season has ended.
Andrew Jarrett, who's becoming a regular with the questions, has a few more this week. Is it naive to think that the current Union players can expand their games by studying the strengths of former Union players who were coached by the current staff? Specifically, Dunbar and Prokop have somewhat different ways of generating offense. As Josh has mentioned, is there a way to teach Dunbar Prokop's more blue line oriented style as an addition to his existing approach?
Definitely. I think when you know, when you're a player that's in college, like you're always looking at, you know, different players to model your game after. And I think, you know, Dunny has some characteristics that are very similar to John. So I think he can learn from him and, you know, watch some of his shifts and grow.
Well, Andrew Law says, I believe Ben Muethersbaugh has improved his stick handling, quickness, and playmaking this year, likely due to hard work. You agree with that?
Definitely. I think his vision has really taken a, you know, he was only a shot first player, you know, at times last season, and has really expanded his game.
Could Ben further benefit from studying Liam Robertson, who graduated in 2024, to learn how to leverage his size and strength to become a more significant presence, relentless, feisty pain in the butt near the net?
Well, I think Liam is a pretty special talent in front of the net. We haven't had too many players that can do what he does. You know, obviously in the power play, they play in different positions, but I definitely think he can, you know, see some of those, you know, net front tactics that Liam utilized.
Can coaches in video analysis effectively help replicate the skills of former players, or are there too many limitations due to physical factors and other influences?
Well, there definitely are some, you know, physical limitations at times, or, you know, some guys have, you know, different skill sets that maybe a guy didn't have. So, The one nice thing is when you've had a player that has had success, you know, doing something, you kind of, as a coach, learn how he got there.
As Josh may know, faceoffs are pretty important. Union has been performing pretty well in this area this year. How much practice time is dedicated to developing faceoff skills?
Yeah, it's a consistent part of our week. We do a lot of stuff from 5-on-5 right from the draw, and then we have our centermen, you know, after practice, always taking faceoffs.
What should Union's faceoff specialists ideally be thinking about, focusing on, and keying off of as the puck is about to drop?
Well, you know, if you're looking at the ice, you're too late. You got to be watching the referee's hand. You got to have a plan, and everybody's got to know what that plan is.
Does a player decide their strategy in the moment, forehand, backhand, tie-up, etc., or are strategies typically dictated by the coaches?
A little bit of both. I think there, you know, we have some face-off plays that we talk about. You know, guys kind of learn as they're, you know, going up against someone what works for them, but typically guys are always trying to pull to their backhand.
And Andrew's final question, who is the best face-off player you have ever seen, regardless of the team? What qualities make that player stand out?
I mean, Nico Sturm has made it a living, you know, off of faceoffs in the NHL. That was something he took a ton of pride in at Clarkson. And, you know, I think last year he led the NHL in faceoff percentages. And, you know, this year he's having, you know, maybe not as good, but he's still, still good season. Really good hand-eye coordination, really good detail. He gets low and is strong in the dot.
Professor Brian Cohen has a couple of questions. We'll wrap it up with him. First, what did you say to the team to keep them motivated after the empty net goal?
You know, it's just one thing we talked about after the second is we just never quit no matter what. And we got to stay true to who we are. And I think that's exactly what you saw from the guys.
And this is a tongue-in-cheek question from Brian. Did you draw up Brandon's game-winning goal?
No. These guys, you know, think the game at a pretty high level, and that was just pure instinct.
Well, thanks for the questions, everyone. And if you have a question for Josh, email him to Schott, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky X and Threads at Slapshots. The Daily Gazette ECAC Hockey Faceoff Selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those picks before the first game, usually on Fridays. To play, send your picks to Schott at dailygazette.com. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk after the game.
Sounds great.
All right, that's Josh Howji. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, we'll preview the Union-Dartmouth men's matchup. I'll have interviews with forwards Brandon Burr and Colby MacArthur and defenseman Nick Young. The Union women also won the Mayor's Cup game against RPI. They're going to charge the return to ECAC hockey action this weekend, hosting Brown and Yale. I'll have interviews with Union head coach Tony Macy, defenseman Stephanie Bork, forward Carrie Ann Engelbert, and goalie Emma Rayumi. I'll also speak with Dartmouth Men's Hockey Associate Head Coach and former Union Men's Hockey Associate Head Coach Jason Tapp, who was recently named the winner of the American Hockey Coaches Association Terry Flanagan Award, which honors an assistant coach's body of work. Also, as I mentioned earlier, Dartmouth Men's Head Hockey Coach Reed Cashman will come on to talk about Jason as well as Friday's matchup. Stephen Wino of the Associated Press, who, like me, is a graduate of Holy Ghost Prep in suburban Philadelphia, joins me to talk about the hiring of John Harbaugh by the New York Giants as their new head coach. Wino, who covers the NHL for the AP, previews the men's hockey tournament in the Winter Olympics and the return of NHL players after a 12-year absence. Finally, San Francisco sports talk show host, Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons graduate, Indiana University graduate, and former Daily Gazette paperboy Damon Bruce comes on to bask in the glory of his Hoosiers winning the college football playoff national championship. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.